For over 50 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green provides you with the kind of personalized help and attention that mass market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, customer service, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Don't forget to tune in next week. My wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be hosting the show. We're always trying to bring you great special guests and interesting information related to your health and wellness. And the goal here is to try and educate and pass on education enough, because honestly, the opportunity in healthcare right now is really in prevention. And that is what the movement has been over the last 15 to 20 to 30 years. I started my practice 15 years ago, started getting into the world of natural and holistic medicine more like 20 to 25 years ago. And at that point, it was very, very early on. People more on the West Coast were still talking about nutrition, healthy living, organic foods, what you could do to take care of your body. And basically, over the last 15 to 20 years, I have witnessed, and we've all witnessed, a huge upsurge in the interest in preventative and holistic medicine, primarily because the traditional approaches to medicine are falling short for many people. While they manage certain types of conditions and concerns, usually it's sometimes too late and the interventions are very extreme. So this is the example of if you have a predisposition or risk factors for heart disease or diabetes in your family, if you maintain an optimal body mass index, eat healthy, take the right nutrients, do all of the right things, your chances of getting heart disease might be less. And we know heart disease is one of the number one killers of Americans. That is a much better option for a lot of people than waiting until their body has a major crisis and having to go in for a bypass surgery or stent placement or be put on a combination of aggressive medication to manage risk factors. And as the culture has caught up with the idea that eating healthy food is a good thing, that is probably, we can see that. I mean, everybody votes in the store with their wallet. Amazon didn't buy Whole Foods because they really liked healthy food. They bought it because they saw it as an emerging trend of business that in that opportunity for huge profitability, because people are marching into healthier grocery stores, buying healthier foods, thinking about healthier choices in an effort to empower their health. And basically that is what we are trying to do here. That's what the Village Green has been doing for the last 40 years in the Bethesda area. So my hope is that you take these conversations that I have every other week on the radio, you take Dana Lake's conversations that she has every other week on the radio, and you use them to empower yourselves, educate yourself, and make decisions about how to keep yourself healthy, because that is truly where health is. And the problem is, once you don't have your health, you don't really have much. People talk about in my office, you know, a naturopathic doctor practicing in Maryland and D.C., and, you know, insurance doesn't cover naturopathic care in this area of the East Coast. Just doesn't. You go to Connecticut, insurance companies are mandated to cover. You go out to the West Coast, insurance companies are mandated to cover, but not around here. So people have to put their wallet, you know, out there, and insurance doesn't cover. And people will say, well, geez, I don't know. This is expensive. I don't quite know if I can do this. And, you know, I understand everybody's in their own position financially. But the reality is that I believe most people can't not afford to do it. And it's very rare that somebody moves through the process of care in my office. And it's not that it's cheap or expensive. What really needs to be measured is the value. And that is where most people say the value was definitely worth it, meaning even if they had to spend a fair amount of money, the value that they got out of it was always worth it, because their quality of life and their health is so much better. And that just bleeds over into every other single aspect of their quality of life, from their performance at work to their personal relationships to what they feel and what they learn and how that influences people close to them in their life, whether it's a spouse, a parent, or a child. These things are of extreme value. And having your health and being able to wake up every day feeling good, engaged with life to the best of the ability, we all have our rough days, is really an invaluable thing. We spend money impulsively as consumers in America on so much junk and useless things. flat screen TVs, the designer clothes, the fanciest cars, the biggest homes, the prettiest landscaping, you know, on so much useless things that really do nothing to improve quality of life. They make you feel good for a week, a month, 3 months, you know, maybe a new house a couple years, a brand new fancy car, 6 months or a year, you know, but really your health and waking up and feeling good every day is pretty much priceless. So understanding where you invest your money and where you invest your time, I believe, is something that people really need to take a look at it and understand what the value is in what they're investing in. So today we're going to be engaging in an important conversation and an interesting conversation, and it touches on topics that are, you know, hugely emerging in the field of medicine in general. I don't want to say natural medicine because it basically is, you know, pervading every corner of medicine, and it has to do with aspects of the gut microbiome. So this is, you know, we've talked about the gut health, and everybody knows about gut health and leaky gut and good bugs and bad bugs and the microbiome. And, you know, we learn about different ways that it influences our health. And today we're talking about specifically the gut-brain axis. So how things that occur in our gut and issues related to our GI system, how does that affect our brain? And, you know, this is an important topic because when we discuss quality of life, we can look at things like depression and anxiety, other mood disorders, you know, even classified as ADD, ADHD. I would even say insomnia can in some people be classified similar to a mood disorder. You see a lot of insomnia is sort of bleeding over from anxiety. You know, these are pervasive common conditions that significantly affect people's quality of life on a daily basis. And I know this because I sit in my office, in my chair, you know, behind my desk and across from me every single day is a constant revolving door of people that tell me what they're experiencing and what they're unhappy with their health. And I would say at least 80 to 90% of people that come through that door are having issues with anxiety or depression or sleep or something. Whether or not it's their primary reason for visiting my office or when I ask them about it, it comes up. It's there, and it is there often. And mood and the way that our brain works is intimately influenced by what happens in our gut. And this is, again, not just a off, you know, fringe theory in the natural health space and the natural health world. This is information and research that is infiltrating traditional psychiatry, all aspects of medicine and mental health. So, of course, we try and come up with a broad range of experts to bring on the show because I have my opinion, and, you know, my opinion has some validity and some weight based on my experiences. But every single person out there that devotes their life to learning about natural medicine is going to have a different subset of experiences, a different subset of expertise, and a different subset of knowledge. And the more we share, the more we learn. So our special guest today, Dr. Anthony Thomas, PhD, earned his BA in Nutrition, Food Science, and Dietetics from California State University, Northridge, and his doctorate in Nutritional Biology from the University of California at Davis. Conducted postdoctoral research at the University of California at Los Angeles Larry Hilborn Islet Research Center. His primary research interests via both preclinical and clinical studies have focused on the influence of dietary and lifestyle factors, specifically physical activity and circadian disruption, on the pathogenesis and chronic cardiovascular metabolic diseases, including obesity, insulin resistance syndrome, and type 2 diabetes. He has authored, co-authored multiple peer-reviewed scientific manuscripts and has served as a referee with relevant expertise in the fields of nutrition, obesity, and diabetes for multiple scientific journals. So again, a industry expert, Dr. Thomas, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Dr. Bracero. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning.
Yeah. So, you know, in this first segment, I always just kind of like to set up the show a little bit, let people know, you know, what we're going to be talking about. Do you want to discuss some of your insights into gut-brain axis, at least introduce it, and then we'll get deeper into it in the next segment?
Sure. Sounds good. And I can say this is actually an area that I'm learning more and more about. It's a very popular area in the world of probiotics. I attend a number of probiotic conferences annually, and I can say many people are starting to focus more and more on this relationship between the gut and your brain and mood. And so we refer to this as the gut-brain axis, but that's essentially a bidirectional communication system that exists between the brain and your central nervous system with your gastrointestinal tract. And the brain sends signals to the gut, and it also receives information from the gut, and it's regulated not only at the neural level, but the hormonal level and by immunological signals. And of course, we know the importance now of the microbes that are colonizing our intestine and how they can regulate digestive function and immune health. And now this connection between the nervous system, which we refer to the enteric nervous system as hundreds of millions of neurons that are essentially innervating your gastrointestinal tract. And the vast majority of these neurons are sending information to the brain. So you're connecting cognitive and emotional areas of the brain essentially with gut function. And of course, since we know the bacteria and microbes colonizing our gut influence digestive function, of course, the next step now is they're looking at how this influences cognitive and emotional aspects of people's lives, so their mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's multiple levels in which, you know, the communication between the gut and the brain, how it's connected. And maybe we can talk about that a little bit more in the next segment and, you know, talk about sort of what we can do to support gut health and brain health and how this thing all works together. So we're going to end the first segment right there and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be with Dr. Thomas discussing the gut-brain axis in a little bit more detail. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we'll be back right after these words.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Pure Defense with NAC offers a unique blend of hypoallergenic nutrients and herbal extracts designed to support overall immune defense and upper respiratory health. The product features epichor fermentate, elderberry, and N-acetyl L-cysteine, nutrients and flavonoids for enhancing first-line immune defense. Pure Defense with NAC can be found at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognosure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognosure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognosure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognosure. Remember Cognosure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
I'm Mark Isaacson, owner of Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, the most unique pharmacy in the country. You are unique, and at Village Green, we treat you this way. At Village Green, our passion is personalization and getting the root cause of health conditions. Guidance on foods, nutrients, and pharmaceuticals to empower you with personalized recommendations just for you. For over 50 years, customers have depended on advice from our expert team of pharmacists and clinical nutritionists. Visit Village Green in Bethesda or online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. Always grateful to have the opportunity to share this information with you. The radio show and being a host on the show has been a really wonderful experience for me because it's a way that I get to learn new information because I am forced every other week to interact with these experts from around the country. And I wouldn't say forced. It's part of my schedule and I enjoy doing it. So I learned so much by speaking with people, and I hope you guys do as well. We're talking with Dr. Anthony Thomas today, specifically around the gut-brain axis and, you know, mental health and brain health and gut health. And, you know, Dr. Thomas, we've seen this stuff, you know, in the literature for a while. I mean, there's been, you know, well-designed human clinical trials out there showing that, you know, supplementing kids or adults with probiotics for certain periods of time. All of the, you know, I mean, with anxiety and depression, usually all the way they measure improvement in research trials are these questionnaires, you know, these different scales and these different questionnaires about quality of life and anxiety, because there's really no blood test to measure anxiety or depression, you know. But there are all these clinical trials that show after periods of time of using supplementation, many people report improvements, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's interesting. And if you look back at the literature, it stretches back pretty far, and it's only kind of ballooned up from there. Maybe, Dr. Thomas, with your expertise, you can talk to us a little bit more about some of these intimate connections between the gut and the brain.
Sure. Well, we left off with the enteric nervous system, which is sometimes referred to as your second brain. These are the hundreds of millions of neurons that are innervating your digestive tract and sending information to the brain and also receiving information from the brain. And, you know, in today's day and age, I think a lot of people experience stress on a regular basis, and stress is often associated with the sympathetic nervous system, which is what people know as the fight or flight mm-hmm. response. And this, of course, leads to elevations in things like cortisol. We refer to this as a common stress hormone, and that can feed back and have influence on digestive function. Now, the enteric nervous system has a lot of parasympathetic innervation, and this is on the opposite end of the fight or flight reaction. When you have chronic stress, you have the parasympathetic activation, which is often referred to as rest and digest. So, you know, this neural system innervating the digestive tract regulates digestive function. And when the parasympathetic nervous system is active, it's promoting digestive function, intestinal motility. And of course, when you're under stress, the body wants to redirect its resources. So it redirects blood flow away from the digestive tract. It slows digestive function, reduces intestinal motility, and all of these things can impact the composition of the microbiome. And then, of course, the feedback that the gut receives from the microbiome and how it interacts with digestive function. And so it was always interesting, my background in obesity. And obesity is often characterized by chronic low-grade inflammation that can perturb many metabolic systems. Well, many mood conditions are associated with obesity and inflammation. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, many mood conditions such as anxiety and chronic stress are often associated with gut conditions that are characterized by inflammation. And we know the gut microbiota influences these various aspects such as intestinal motility. You had mentioned leaky gut earlier, so it plays a very important role in maintaining that gut barrier function. And I can say that when you have sustained chronic stress, generally you'll see sustained levels of cortisol, that stress hormone, and that can negatively affect that gut barrier function and promote leaky mm-hmm. gut. And you'll see more inflammatory signaling at the intestines. And again, this information is received by neurons innervating your digestive system and can directly communicate with your brain, your central nervous system, to let it know its status. And this, of course, has negative effects on aspects of mood and can promote anxiety and stress. So it's really a feed-forward cycle. It's a vicious cycle where stress can contribute to digestive dysfunction mm-hmm. and issues. And then, of course, that feeds back into exacerbating stress and anxiety.
Yeah, it 100% does. And, what makes me so what I get so hung up on or so frustrated with is how, like, fragmented we think about our bodies. You know, I mean, people just have such a hard time. It's like people are finally starting to, like, learn and really understand this concept that these different systems of our body are totally connected. But I mean, you ask the average person, you know, that has having stomach issues, that has digestive problems, you know, and they may have some mood issues. Do you think they're related? They say, well, no, that's my stomach. You know, like, that's going on down here. And I don't know how. Yeah, it makes me kind of grumpy sometimes when I'm in pain. But, like, generally speaking, you know, there's no message being put out there that really helps people link these different systems of the body together. But, you know, when you think about your body, I mean, your gut is, you know, I don't know, 3 feet from your brain. And how long does it take the blood circulating through your GI system to get to your brain? You know, not very long. So all these things are intimately connected, and all the cells in your body are communicating almost instantly at all given times. And then, of course, between the gut and the brain, we have nerves like the vagus nerve, which directly connect the nervous system of the gut to the brain. And we, you know, hear things like the majority of serotonin in our body is produced in the gut, right, Dr. Thomas?
That's correct. Yeah, various neurotransmitters are produced by the enteric nervous system, and of course regulate digestive function. And you're spot on with this. It's many people think of this oversimplistically, and of course, the nervous system is probably the most complex system in the body, and second to that is your immune system.
Yep.
And both of these are highly concentrated and innervated about your gut because this is really a selective barrier to the outside world. People think of it as within your body, but really it's a barrier to get into your body and certain things it allows in, certain nutrients, and it tries to keep other things out, such as various microbes that we encounter daily. And even good microbes you don't want getting into the system, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, for a while when I was, you know, I mean, it, like I've said, since the minute I opened my doors and started, you know, practicing as a doctor, people were coming in talking about anxiety or depression. So I've always in my, you know, clinical work been trying to figure out strategies and ways to really help people with mood regulation. And there was a period of time when it got very exciting. You know, we learned and all this information started coming about how much serotonin is produced in the gut. And then for a while that was kind of looked down upon a little bit because then people realized, well, geez, the serotonin in the gut isn't necessarily what's getting into the brain. And there's this very simplistic view of, you know, if you're depressed, you need more serotonin in your brain. But when you look at this, if you look at the system globally, like you're talking about, Dr. Thomas, and how your nervous system is connected in different ways, the proper nervous system tone of the gut is going to influence what's going on in the brain. So all of that serotonin production that's supposed to be happening in a healthy GI system may be creating certain types of signals, even if it's not directly the serotonin molecule in the gut traveling to the brain and triggering a receptor in the brain. It is triggering nervous system's a chain that does travel up and helps create the tone of what's going on in your nervous system as well. And that's just one example of one neurotransmitter. And that's like one side of it. And then there's the other side of it, you know, which is just inflammation, you know, and I've worked at, you know, very nationally renowned clinics, medical clinics that specialize in treating neurological and mood and anxiety issues. And, you know, they do these incredible brain scans and you can see things like the doctors will call it the ring of fire on the brain scan, where you would see this sort of ring of inflammation in the brain. And they would say, if we see that, we can almost certainly guarantee that there's some sort of major like food immune reactivity going on in the gut. Because they had seen clinically, if they started helping people identify and eliminate common food allergens, their mood would improve and they would see that inflammation come down. And so like the immune system is then also triggering all of these potential inflammatory markers that occur either because most commonly of food sensitivities or food. They're not usually IgE mediated classic food allergies. They're oftentimes the IgG or IgM, more IgG delayed sensitivity reactions that are triggering immune problems. And the other thing that can cause it is these microbial imbalances. So if the bugs are out of balance, the immune system is constantly identifying that something shouldn't be there and you have all of this increased immune activity. Well, how does that happen? I mean, how often do we overuse antibiotics? How often do people overuse sugar? How often do we overuse hormone therapies? How often, you know, do we eat diets that are high in not only sugar, but alcohol or processed carbohydrates? All of these things that we commonly do that are done from the very time that we're born via C-section reduces your gut microbes, or it makes it a more unfavorable gut microbiological balance in your gut, having formula versus breastfed. You know, I mean, every single thing that we do in our modern culture from birth and early life is almost designed to upset what is supposed to occur in our gut. You know, and so how it's no wonder that we end up with so much GI problems, inflammatory issues, brain dysfunction, you know, and it's sometimes hard to completely undo that when somebody walks into your office at age 30, when they've had traumas to that balance going on since the day they were born, based on, you know, what is sort of norm in our society. And, you know, it's an interesting way to look at it all. And there are therapies and tools that we're going to talk about that help shift that balance back in a right direction. But you really have to look at it from that truly holistic model to actually get people significant results. Because if you just go out there and just purchase something off the shelf and do only one thing that you think is going to turn that lifetime of insults or imbalances around, then you're going to say, oh, well, that natural stuff doesn't work. Well, you have to think about it in a truly holistic model. And if you've been doing something for 20 to 30 years that's been creating an imbalance, you have to expect that you're going to have to do a little bit more work than just try something for a few weeks to get a result. This, you know, it's not it's different than what people are used to with medicine, but it is very, very powerful. Dr. Thomas, I am sure I have set you up for some really great thoughts to share, and I really want you to. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd love to continue to hear your thoughts, and we can talk about some specific things and therapies that people can engage in that do help with gut support, do help with brain support, and help that gut-brain access, and can actually make people feel better fairly quickly. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Hi, I'm Gail Isaacson, owner of Village Green Apothecary, where we've been specializing in meeting your unique healthcare needs for over 50 years. Our passion is helping you to get to your root cause of health conditions. At Village Green Apothecary, our expert team of pharmacists and clinical nutritionists offer guidance on diet, nutrients, and pharmaceuticals to empower you with personalized recommendations just for you. Plus, we offer lab testing and nutritional consultations to optimize your health plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda or online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We're talking with Dr. Anthony Thomas, and we've been having a spirited conversation about the gut-brain axis. You hear a lot about it, and it's a lot of fluff out there, you know, but I'm hoping we're diving into like a little bit of a deeper conversation here on the radio than like the latest article or newsletter you get from whoever you're signed up for holistic health, you know, information. You know, on this show, we're really just trying to disseminate information. There are sometimes, you know, companies that sponsor the show where we may talk about products, but really the focus of the show is to try and get information across. And, you know, our guests do that and I do that. So I try and be an unbiased and just a frank place where you can get good quality information about these topics that are trending and popular and that people are interested in. So, Dr. Thomas, I kind of finished off, you know, my own voice on the last segment talking about a bunch of different concepts related to gut-brain health. And I know based on your intelligence, expertise, and research that you definitely had some points that you would have liked to share, but we had run out of time. I'd like to turn it over to you and just to continue the conversation.
Sure. Well, you brought up many good points, and I really do agree that you have to think of these of treating people holistically because these systems are complicated and integrated. There really is no silver bullet out there that can treat just a multifactorial pathology such as stress, anxiety, and various conditions of the gut. And so you brought up the vagus nerve, and this is a very important communication system between the brain and your gut. And in fact, this is the longest cranial nerve with the widest distribution in the body, and it contains, you know, sensory and also motor neurons. But the vast majority of those neurons are actually sending information to the brain versus receiving information from the brain. And so it's updating your brain on the status of your digestive function and intestinal health. And so when you have imbalances in the microbiota, and say, you know, we hear about terms like dysbiosis, and it's really not a standardized medical term, but it generally means increased levels of undesirable or bad bacteria and lower levels of the beneficial good bacteria. And this imbalance can lead to, signals. And again, you mentioned that not just neurotransmitters, but pro-inflammatory signals. These things have signaling properties in the body, and it doesn't mean that they have to literally signal in the brain. You have all these neural endings just right there innervating the GI tract, mm-hmm. and they feed directly up to the brain. So they can signal right there, send that information to the brain, and the brain, of course, can respond and send send signals throughout the body to in response to the signal that it's received. And so these conditions of a simple example people might know is that, you know, people experience stress. We all have bad days, you mentioned, right? And sometimes people might not realize that their stress is, they might feel like, oh, you know, my stomach's a little upset or I have some gas and bloating, and not realize that these systems are actually connected, and this could be connected to the stress that they're experiencing in a very biological way, you know. Mm-hmm. Not psychosomatic, but there are actual signals emanating from the gut in response to that stress, and then of course that can feed back to lead to more stress and anxiety as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's totally 100% true. And the reality is I think we only understand like a fraction of actually what's happening as well. I mean, you know, every time I like dig into literature and research and I start, you know, studying about something related to somebody's case, or if I'm going to be lecturing or, you know, giving a presentation, I always find all these new pieces of information that is coming out that nobody ever talks about because they're emerging research. I mean, if a researcher has a breakthrough in some sort of biological process, it doesn't like hit the front page of every newspaper and doctor's office. It can take a long time for us to truly understand that. And I remember researching something about how the gut worked in signaling for like the short chain fatty acids that are produced by the beneficial bacteria and how that triggered some other type of signaling chemical that then affected the brain, which regulated insulin. It was related to like diabetes. But it was so fascinating because after all the things that I had known or studied or learned about or heard about related to how diet and nutrition and everything relates to like blood sugar regulation, this was a mechanism that was so incredibly powerful in how it regulates physiology, but I had never heard of. And I guarantee there's probably 50,000 of those mechanisms in place that affect how our gut, nervous system, how we interact with our food, how that layer of microbiological colonies, the microflora, how they interact with our cells and how that triggers different things in our brain. I don't think people like really understand like what the gut microflora does. Like the gut microflora is almost like this layer on the cells that line our GI tract. And like it's their job to kind of break the food down and create some of these different chemicals or these what are called short chain fatty acids and other nutrients that then are what our GI cells actually eat to thrive, right? I mean, like people don't really understand. We think, well, we have all these bugs in our gut and they do something for us, but we don't understand how intimate it is. Like our enterocytes, the cells that line our gut that are 100% essential for survival at any minute, are 100% dependent on these good bacteria in order to be properly fed. Like where that really hit me was like 3 or 4 years ago. I was reading a random research article out of like Scandinavia area. It's like a breast milk research facility where all they do is study breast milk. And they had isolated the most abundant sugar in breast milk. And they thought, wow, babies must really need this sugar for development in early life, because this is like 90% of breast milk in the first however many weeks of life, like, contains this sugar. And then they were shocked when they realized that, like, babies' GI systems can't even absorb that sugar at that time of life. You're like, geez, like, what's going on? Why is the body putting all this sugar into the breast milk that the baby can't even absorb? The body is just, what's wrong with it? What's it doing wrong? Well, it took about, you know, not very long before the researchers figured out that that sugar was the primary sugar necessary for the growth of lactobacillus and acidophilus and the bifidobacterium, all of the good microorganisms that are supposed to inhabit the gut. So in early life, the mother's breast milk is designed more to sustain the life of the beneficial microbes than the baby itself. That's how important it is to establish good microflora in your body. That is the priority level in which Mother Nature has intended things to work. Because without without that microflora being properly established, your digestive system, your immune system will not develop properly. That is why we have so much allergy, so much autoimmune disease. It links right back to what happens at that level, right, Dr. Thomas?
Oh, I can tell you this has been an area of personal interest lately. I have an infant son, of course, and as you mentioned, breast milk, we refer to this as the perfect nutrition for a developing infant, and a very important role for breast milk is shaping the intestinal microbiota, and because it contributes to our development and also protection. And so this is a very vulnerable stage, and as you mentioned, this can lay the foundation for lifelong health. And so you have these components in breast milk directing the composition of the intestinal microbiota that would hopefully benefit the developing infant and support aspects such as brain development and immune development that can, of course, lead to play a role in various diseases later in life, such as obesity, depression, and allergies and autoimmune disease. So it's very complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, they've proven it in like C-section babies are more likely to have heart disease later in life. Right. And it has a lot to do with like obesity and the microbes. C-section babies are more likely to be overweight. Right. Because when you have a C-section, I mean, geez, I probably explained this like 1,000 times. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm boring people, but like when a baby's born in utero, all it's doing is swallowing amniotic fluid, which is sterile. Right. So like there's no microbes in the baby's gut really in utero. So then the baby gets born and Mother Nature designed it like the woman's gynecological flora is full of like acidophilus and bifidobacterium species as well. The same thing that's in the human gut. It's like as the baby comes down the birth canal, it swallows fluid from the woman's reproductive tract. And that's what inoculates the gut. When you do a C-section, you bypass that first inoculation of the proper bacteria and the baby comes out into a sterile hospital room. And instead it's getting in contact with skin bacteria and bacteria around the hospital or what the doctors has on their, you know, scrubs or on their gloves and what the nurses have and what the mom has on her skin, not what's in the gut. And so we know that it's a different microflora environment. And we know that babies born via C-section tend to have different microflora balance in their gut that isn't in line with what a baby that was born vaginally has. And that's a first starting point in establishing what flora are in the gut. And, you know, it's an important concept. And it does. It starts at infancy. And then what do we do with our kids? All right, well, we feed them formula and then we feed them, you know, dairy products like milk, you know, as their first foods, or like, you know, Cheerios or some sort of, you know, like wheat-based product, crackers. You know, we feed them like the highest potentially allergenic foods in our society. And then they start to get chronic inflammation, and that inflammation kind of swells up the little gentle areas of their body. So maybe their eustachian tubes get a little swollen and they don't drain very well because their heads haven't grown. So the eustachian tubes aren't tilted. So they get clogged and they get an ear infection. Then they go into the pediatrician and they look in their ear and they say, geez, little Johnny has an ear infection. Take this antibiotic. And it goes around and around and around and around. And I mean, how many parents have had their kids to the doctor however many times with recurrent courses of antibiotics for upper ear infections, upper respiratory infections? It's not always a necessary therapy if the baby is taken care of properly. And the issue with it is that it further disrupts the establishment of the proper gut microflora, which then pushes this whole issue on development and onwards. And you see it in kids. And I also am unwinding these issues in people that are 40 years old, you know, that had this issue from day one, you know, and they come in and they're so used to regular medicine. Like, okay, doctor, why aren't I better yet? It's been 2 weeks. It's been 1 month. Why aren't I better yet? When I go to my regular doctor and I have pain, they give me a drug and I feel better within a few days. I said, well, you know, it's a different approach. We're literally trying to create health and vitality and proper balance in a situation where there's been many, many years of behavior influences and lifestyle that have shifted you away from there. And the people that are patient do phenomenal and are shocked by what their body can achieve. People that are 5 years old and people that are 85 years old, I've seen people heal immensely fast every second of every single day. Every second of every single day, every one of your cells is trying to do whatever it can to express optimal health. There is likely something that you are doing or have done that is preventing that. And if you can find somebody to work with that can help you identify what is preventing that, remove it, and work to support your body will heal and express health in ways that you never thought was possible. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Thomas, let's talk about a couple, you know, different like solutions people can just kind of walk right out and start working towards that can help support mood, support their gut, support their bodies in general, because there are a few things on the market that have good research that are useful. So that's what our last segment's going to be. Don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're going to be right back after these words.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics multivitamins. That's right, certified organic. Made with the highest quality standards. Uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. Non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Pure Defense with NAC offers a unique blend of hypoallergenic nutrients and herbal extracts designed to support overall immune defense and upper respiratory health. The product features Epicor Fermentate, Elderberry, and N-acetyl L-cysteine, nutrients and flavonoids for enhancing first-line immune defense. Pure Defense with NAC can be found at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probalarde from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probalarde provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probalarde is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We've been talking with Dr. Anthony Thomas and having a spirited conversation around gut health, brain health. I'm not sure if it was a rough commute in, but I'm feeling kind of fired up, so I'm going off on all sorts of tangents. I hope you all find it interesting and engaging and are learning something. Dr. Thomas, you know, we've been talking about all these different factors that influence gut health. We've been talking about you know, inflammation that occurs from food and diet. But like, let's kind of shift the conversation specifically on the microflora and the gut health. And, you know, let's talk about some sort of realistic strategies, right? I mean, I've been trying to get around the conversation specifically of probiotics. And I'll tell you why is because I believe in the public, there is a bit of a misconception that every single gastrointestinal microbial imbalance can be fixed by walking out to your health food store and buying a probiotic bottle off the shelf. And while there's good research on probiotics, especially, and we'll talk about this, I'd love to hear your insights on, you know, clinically validated strains of probiotics, that it's not that they're not useful, but I have found clinically that people with pretty significant problems don't all of a sudden have all their issues magically turn around and fix all their gut microbial problems just by taking a couple pills a day. I mean, it still is like the very reductionistic model that we look at in medicine where everything is really just fixed by a simple solution. And really what it comes down to is we have to do enough things that support the proper function and structure of the body in order to get that type of shift. And in most people, that involves lifestyle changes and looking at the health in a more complex and the gut microbial balance in a more complex manner. But we can't do this show without discussing all of the exciting research around probiotics. So I'd love for you to kind of chime in a little bit here and start, you know, introducing the topic of probiotics, where they're useful. You know, we got a lot of things to sort of discuss here. So I'm going to let you kick it off.
Right. Well, you mentioned a lot of lifestyle and environmental factors that were, you know, never present in our evolutionary history. You mentioned C-section deliveries, the rise in use of antibiotics, and of course we were talking about stress and daily life and how that can influence our digestive function and the composition of our microbiota. And so there's a lot of excitement about the potential of true probiotics to positively influence the composition and function of our microbiota to help, you know, get back to where we think is associated with health and what's the word I'm looking for? Just basically blunt some of the negative effects from these lifestyle factors that we've introduced in our modern living that have negative influence on the composition and function of our microbiota, which of course affects our overall health and our mood and our well-being. And so probiotics, there is a lot of misconception. People just think right now, I would say that, you know, it's live bacteria. And so yogurt's a source of probiotic, fermented foods. And while they can be, they are not necessarily a source of probiotics per se. You know, the definition of a probiotic is a live microorganism that, when administered in adequate amounts, conveys a health benefit to the host. So the host that we're talking about is humans. And the only way you can show that is in a human clinical study and show that administration of the probiotic is superior to that of placebo. And so I'd actually argue that many products on the shelf claiming to contain probiotics, in fact, are not. You know, and I'm with the company Jarrow Formulas, and we take our probiotics very seriously. We like to say strains matter, and yeah. In the scientific world, we really know that the effects of probiotics are strain, dose, and condition specific. And of yep. course, today we're talking about the gut-brain axis and how it can influence mood. And so, you know, when we were designing a formula to address this specific condition, we looked at research on very specific lactobacillus and bifidobacterium strains that had been studied in this context. And we also included, you know, another compound. We talked about neurotransmitters earlier. Well, there's a specific neurotransmitter called gamma-aminobutyric acid, or GABA for short. And this is the principal inhibitory neurotransmitter in the body. And this neurotransmitter can actually be produced by some of the bacteria within your gut, various lactobacilli. And it plays an important role also in the intestines as well. And so all of these things come together, and you're right. You hear wild claims out there, and many people think of probiotics primarily in the realm of digestive health, but really they look at it for immune development, various aspects of establishing a healthy microbiota early in life. And so it's important that consumers know that there's a lot of research that goes into developing true probiotics and that's specific to those strains.
Yeah. So can we talk about that for a second? Because I think people, like, I don't always quite get the I conceptually understand it, but I get the analogy wrong oftentimes when I try and actually explain it. So I'm glad I have you on the show today because you can actually do it correctly so I don't butcher it. But like, you know, we have like these different species of probiotics, right? Like Lactobacillus acidophilus is a species, correct?
Right.
And then correct. And then within that species, there's all these specific strains of Lactobacillus acidophilus, correct?
Right.
Okay. So like the analogy that I always talks about is like canines or like dogs, that's a species of animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's like all these strains of dogs, right? So like with probiotics, like just because you buy one off the shelf, and tell me if I get this wrong, if it says it contains Lactobacillus acidophilus, people buy it and think they're getting a specific benefit because they heard that was good in this one or so research study. But like the one used in the research study may have been like looking at like from a dog perspective, it may have been studying a chihuahua. And then the one that they went out and bought is one that's more like a, you know, a Great Dane. Right. So they're all within the species of canine. But like we can all clearly understand that like a chihuahua is a lot different than a Great Dane, and the effects of those different types of animals within that same species are vastly different, which is why like it's so important in probiotic selection. And when you're using one, this is what I agree as well, all the future of probiotic therapy is going to strain specific organisms. And I believe that any company that is not using strain specific organisms in their probiotics is behind, way behind the science, and really not putting responsible or really high quality products out on market. Because the ones that are strain specific are typically the ones that have been clinically validated in human clinical trials, or at least in some animal models. And those strain-specific ones, you can usually identify, Dr. Thomas, right? Because they oftentimes have like something in parentheses afterwards, like it like genetically verifies their strain. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's generally the strain level is generally an alphanumeric code that follows the genus and species. And right. I like another analogy where
now did
you
did I get my analogy right? Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you did. You did. And so another instance. Simple analogy I like to give is that, you know, humans, we're all members of the same genus and species. And so, so you brought up Lactobacillus acidophilus. Lactobacillus is the genus, acidophilus is the species. But as you mentioned, there's many strains within that species. And just like humans, we're all members of the same genus and species, but we're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to use the example of say basketball. If the condition is to score baskets, win basketball games, let's say you have the choice of LeBron James, or myself, and you know, I'm 6'2", I'm fairly athletic, I enjoy playing basketball, but I'm certainly not LeBron James. And I mentioned my infant son, you know, he's also the same member of the genus and species. Now, if I said, hey, look, you can have two of me instead of just one LeBron, or even 10 of my son, you can see here the example that would suggest that just giving more of something that's not gonna serve the purpose and condition that you're trying to address, it's not going to overcome that functional deficit. So, so what good is more if it's impotent? So you want things that are specific for the condition in which you're trying to address. And if companies are not labeling for the specific strains within their product, you know, that's done on purpose. That's not a mistake. The International Probiotic Association and the International Scientific Association of Probiotics, they all advocate against this. You should tell the exact strains in your product. This is what links it to the research that demonstrates its capacity as a probiotic and how it can support human health.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not being transparent. It's not letting the customer know, and it's suggesting that they're all the same, and they're really not.
Yep.
You know, just like we're all not the same, microbes are not all the same, and certain ones have certain benefits, and those are not readily transferred to other bacteria other bacterial strains within the same species. And preclinical research shows this. Clinical research shows this.
And it's definitely where the trend is going.
I
remember it was probably like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, you know, where people started coming to me and talking about products and saying, yeah, and we have this strain specific. You know, I mean, it hasn't been that long that we've really been focused on that in our industry. Before, it was just nobody really differentiated. And so that, I believe, is definitely where the trend is going. as more research is conducted on these strain-specific organisms, and we've seen ones that are more specific for gut health and ones that are more specific for emotional health, or ones that seem to be more specific for metabolism support or weight loss, you know, like, and you can see that borne out in the research. So it's really important to take a look at that. And I know that is something that, you know, the Gyrodophilus mood, all of the probiotics in there are very strain specific. And I imagine because this is a mood formula, there's probably some clinical data on each one of those strains related to potentially a study that was done that showed it may support mood. Is that a correct assumption?
That is a correct assumption. And you know, I'll preface with saying, you know, the research in this area is still, you know, it's active, it's emerging. Mm-hmm. This is a new area of research. Much research has been done initially in preclinical models, so animals, and there's been some clinical work. And so we looked through the scientific literature and tried to select strains that were well studied in the area of gut-brain axis and their ability to influence mood. And so all four strains within our Gyrodophilus mood product, they've been shown through numerous clinical studies, you know, to support the intestinal health and function, which, of course, we've established plays an essential role in the functioning of this gut-brain axis. And specifically, those strains have been looked at for modulating, you know, anxiety, stress responses. And we also combine it with a clinically studied natural form of that inhibitory neurotransmitter, GABA, and this is branded PharmaGABA. You might see it in some products, and that too has been clinically studied and shown to promote relaxation and feelings of calmness and help mm-hmm. people overcome fear, reduce stress, and research actually bears that out. So at Jaro, we really like our science. We have absolutely and have always identified the strains within our products, and people can look from knowing those strains, they can literally go find the research, or you could always, you know, contact Jaro Formulas, be happy to direct you to the research too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that is, you know, important. And I think expectation wise, like, you know, it's a nice combination of ingredients because I use PharmaGABA very commonly. It is my favorite form of GABA. There's a lot of GABA out on the market. PharmaGABA is a patented GABA extract that's naturally derived. Some people will almost call it like food-based.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it seems to have, you know, a very effective yet very gentle impact on the body and very well assimilated and utilized by the body. And I think clinically it works really well. So it's a nice inclusion of a patented form of GABA rather than just going out there and finding any random GABA supplement. The PharmaGABA one does. Yeah.
If I can interject, it's actually, as far as I know, it's the only natural form of GABA that's available on the market. And as you mentioned, it's produced naturally. It's derived from fermentation. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about beneficial bacteria. It's actually a lactobacillus that's used to ferment and produce this form of GABA. Mm-hmm. And all other GABAs on the market are synthetic. And there's actually a difference. The synthetic ones actually can have different structures and thus not activate there's different forms of the GABA receptor in the body. I think there's three or more forms. And so the natural form can interact with all of these receptors, whereas the synthetic forms produces differences yeah. in structure, and so it won't stimulate. And I want to remind everyone, going back to what we were talking about, you know, this GABA does not cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's not as if you take it and it's going up to your brain and having these signals. It's really working through that enteric nervous system at your GI tract. And there's mm-hmm. lots of GABA receptors in your enteric nervous system innervating your gastrointestinal tract. And so it can signal at that level. And that, of course, communicates to your brain or central nervous system. And GABA has many functions within the gastrointestinal tract, too. One thing I know is that it really helps actually dampen inflammation. Mm-hmm. So it has, you know, we already said inflammatory signaling at the level of the gut can actually lead to anxiety and stress. Yep. And so GABA can naturally diminish that. People that have anxiety, stress disorders, they're generally characterized by low levels of GABA. And so giving back that natural PharmaGABA is really, I think it's one of the best ingredients we have.
It's a great explanation of the PharmaGABA. Thank you. We are totally out of time. Dr. Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning. I hope everybody learned some interesting and valuable lessons here on the show today. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health until next time. Take care.
Did you know at Village Green Apothecary, we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more. That's right. In addition to our big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. Today and every day at Village Green, we care about our customers. We've been providing the best nutrition and healthy living products for over 50 years. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.